And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this fifth day of August 2025. And we got Jim Dozer Adams in with us this morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
You folks looking for Mike? Well, we did some swapping around.
Yeah, they done some flip-flopping.
So Mike said he'd sleep in today if I'd come to work. So
yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. So I hope he's enjoying his sleep.
I think he probably sleeps in from about to about 7 instead of getting up at 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
He's always been a worker. Adventures last week.
Really?
Yeah, they had a Crossings, which is a youth, just most for children.
Yeah.
I think 4th and 5th grade, up through 5th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they were short of adults to go with the group, so there I went.
My wife
and I both. So I had a room with 6 boys, 4th and 5th grade boys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It was so, they had some really good stuff go on there. And then they'd go back to being boys.
Yeah.
But I achieved a moment of fame. They've got this is held at Jonathan Creek, for those of you that have been there.
Uh-huh.
And they've got a man-made lake with a bunch of things in it, floating things. And they've got a zipline type deal that you can get up on top and you can zip down over the lake and let it go at the end.
Yeah.
Well, old dumb Jim thought that looked like fun.
Did you try that?
I tried that. Yeah, we had a bad case of too much body mass, not enough muscle or something, but we made the three of us on the little thing. We made it out about between 3.5 and 4 feet from the tower, and down we went.
Oh, boy. The
water's hard sometimes when you hit it like that.
Anyway,
somebody got it on tape.
Oh, I got to see it.
So we made the big screen at that evening's worship service. They had some little things they'd shown throughout the day toward the end. But it was really, they had a young pastor that was leading the thing, and he really was very good at communicating with the kids.
Because that's good.
Several of the children were asking, what did you like the most? And a lot of them said the worship and the preacher. They really liked the way he came across.
Well, that's good.
And I had some of these fourth grade boys were saying, is he going to preach again tonight? And I think so. Oh, good, I like him.
That's a good thing that they liked the word.
They did, yeah.
That's really good.
But anyway, there was a certain degree of fatigue when we got home.
I bet.
It was very interesting. It's very full schedule.
Yeah, I imagine.
You ate in about 3 or 4 shifts because there were so many there.
Wow.
But the interesting thing about that is the various activities they do, the kids, they always have a gospel presentation. And it's not one of those things where they drag it out forever and ever and have a big emotional sets in an altar call and get folks to say a prayer, whether they want to or not, kind of thing. It was just that the gospel was presented to them in just about every aspect of the program at some point. While they're having fun, they'd be, they would tie a gospel presentation into it. The idea being, let them hear the gospel and hear it and begin to understand it. And then trust the Holy Spirit to do what he does best, which is, lead them into salvation.
Absolutely.
Instead of saying, everybody come forward and, kneel down and say this. There was a presentation made nationwide, very famous, and they had an introductory thing, and they had a prayer, said, Dear Jesus, I'm shortening it, the big key thing was, I'd like to get to know you better. And then they said, if you said, I got to get to know you better, then you're saved.
No,
that's not the way it goes.
That's true.
But this is just to put the word of God and plant the plan of salvation and what it means into these young people. So it will sit there, and the Holy Spirit can work with it.
That's right.
And you've got these kids in this age group saying, they enjoy the preaching.
Now that I'm gonna say it again. That amazes me because you got to be very, very interesting for a child to say, "Hey, I enjoyed the preaching."
Well, the guy was very good because he was kind of a gamer a little bit, so he could draw some parallels to some of the video games that a lot of these kids are familiar with.
Gotcha.
He was very good at drawing the parallels.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
But it was
now,
like
so how many kids do you say? Did you say it was all boys, right?
Well, no, just in my room.
Oh, just in your room.
Yeah,
so
in our group we had, I think, like 12 boys, 12, 13 boys.
Uh-huh.
And then we had 4 rooms full of girls.
Gotcha.
2 rooms full of boys.
Gotcha.
That was just, we had 37, 38 from this area that went with us. I go to Hillcrest Baptist, and so a bunch of them were there. We had some other churches that went with us because either their church wasn't taking part this year, or they couldn't, for scheduling purposes, go with their church's group. So
gotcha.
They went with us, and that worked out quite well.
Gotcha.
Too.
Gotcha.
But there were several hundred children there.
Wow.
And lots of really interesting, enjoyable activities. They could have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, in the course of that, all the young people that come in there work for the summer.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about energy.
Oh, I bet.
Oofta.
I bet.
Yeah.
You didn't feel young again?
Well, I tried the zip line over the water thing. And,
I got to see that video.
I had it's up on Facebook.
Is it on Facebook?
I don't sure exactly where, but I've seen it.
Is it probably under the church?
I don't really know where it is. I'll try to
check. I'm going to look at the church, see if it's on there, because I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah,
but anyway.
You'll have to Hillcrest Baptist Church on Facebook. Check it out.
Me.
Oh, you can't really tell it's me, actually.
Well.
But there's one, they talk to us and they want to know what things we like the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, the thing I liked the least was falling off that zipline thing. And then they cut to that, and they just see three small pictures, and they have a little arrow that points to Jim, the old dumb Jim, as he just falls off the thing and splats into the water.
My goodness.
And then I went back, and I got to tell them the thing I like, one of the things I like the most about it. But it's very, very invigorating.
I got you.
And to see young people having discussions. And,
yeah.
Every now and again, they come up with something really, really good, and then they go back to being kids again.
Well, sure.
And that's kind of what you're being supposed to do and be able to be kids for a
absolutely,
while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jim, let's break away, and then we'll come back and get things kind of started.
Yeah,
and,
instead of you can't make this up. Yeah, you could make this up, but you don't need to because somebody else already did. We'll get one of those.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know Him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because He's worth it.
Sharing the gospel worldwide with TWR, Missionary Radio.
And, of course, welcome back to Missionary Radio. I'd like to mention this morning, Jim, I know I try to remember it. Sometimes I forget. But anyway, if you'd like to listen to the podcast of previous editions of the Front Porch, you can do that by going to our website, missionary.radio, and go to podcast. Once you click on podcast, there will be a picture of a rocking chair pop up. Click on the rocking chair, and then you'll see past programs of the Front Porch all edited out, and you just get the talking part. So it's really nice, so go check that out.
Yeah, I've got a rocking chair because we're on the Front Porch, just a-rocking.
Just a-rocking.
Okay, you just did a weather forecast a little while ago.
I did.
Tried to tell us what the weather was going to be like the first part, all the way through the first part of the next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of interesting to wonder, as you get closer to it, you find it changes, it shifts, and by the time we get, the next Tuesday, you say, well, that's not exactly the way it was.
It started off.
Well, the same people that can't tell you for sure what the weather's going to be like next month, now they've got another issue coming. We've got these wind turbines generating electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we have a warning about the coming wind droughts.
Wind droughts?
Right. You'll run out of wind.
Okay.
Now, I wish they would do that in Washington, D.C. sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a whole different story. Anyway. But apparently the wind shifts around, and so they build all these wind farms, and then because of climate change, it shifts around, and suddenly they're not functioning.
Yeah,
so they're not generating a whole lot of power anyway, unless you go for miles and miles.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading the article, I found out another interesting thing. You know, they have to have a certain speed of wind to start for them. Mm-hmm. But they also, if the wind is too strong, they have to shut them down or it'll break. They'll break.
Really?
So you can have too little wind, too much wind, or no wind at all. And now they're saying they're going to, the wind patterns, sort of like, you know, streams in the ocean and lakes and things of this thing. You'll be in a lake sometimes, mm-hmm. you'll find a little mm-hmm. warm spot, and then you'll find a cold area will come through mm-hmm. there because they have current flows in there, too.
Yes.
So they're going to say the wind is doing the same thing, which, you know, sailors and others could probably have told them if they'd asked.
Yeah.
So now we're going to build all these wind farms, and now, we're going to have a drought of wind from the same people who told us that, by the year 2000, there would be no ice caps left in Antarctica or the Arctic. Mm-hmm. All the Greenland would be an island again. There would be no ice there. And it's growing. And they told us the polar bears were dying out, and the polar bears are reproducing like crazy. They're doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
So now they say we've got all the wind turbines. It's going to save us. Oops! But they're not going to work because the wind's going to move.
So it's not going to work.
So anyway, for those of us who keep track of doomsayers, there's another. Do all of this. Oh, that's not going to help either. Okay. So just throw that. It's here we go.
Well, it's
kind of a here we go again.
Yeah, you know, I run into a lady back a few weeks ago, and we was talking about the weather, and of course I don't know if she was serious or not, but she was talking about, she said, I believe the government runs our weather, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, no, I said, the Lord still is control of the weather, you know, but the people are trying to say now the government.
If you get enough dependence on the government, put it in, it gets pretty silly.
Yeah.
The other thing, you look up and you watch airplanes go by and you see the little contrails behind them. They're putting chemicals out. The chemtrails, they're putting chemicals out. You know, I flew.
Yeah.
And I flew jets. And at high altitude, that's predominantly water vapor.
Yes.
Because when you burn hydrocarbon, you get carbon dioxide and water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the primary products from burning carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Not carbohydrates, but carbon-based fuels.
Yeah.
And it comes out and it freezes. It's predominantly water vapor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we did not load chemical into our airplanes to go, you know, drop them off.
Yeah, just to make a white line.
But so much for the chemtrails. Mm-hmm. Now, there have been attempts to cause precipitation by sowing little silver dioxide crystals in the clouds, but first you got to have a cloud. You got to have a water content,
mm-hmm.
and the idea would give them a little something for the drops, the molecules to coalesce around and make raindrops.
Yeah,
which can come down as rain, or they can freeze up and be sleet, or they can go back and forth in a thunderstorm and come out as big things of hail busting your car windows.
Mm.
There's all kinds of ways it can come down, but it's got to initially become a raindrop coalescing around some kind of particle.
Sure.
So anyway, so much of that theory.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a conspiracy theory, you need to, get one with a little more basis in fact than that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, shifting gears a little bit. One of the things in the news is that several European countries have now said they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. Well, there's several problems with that. First place, the idea that for Palestine itself is, and Palestinians is pretty much a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
That was predominated back in the 60s and 70s, predominantly. And the name Palestine was taken from the Philistines, which the Romans renamed Israel because Israel was giving them so much trouble they wanted to take the name and the identity away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've even heard, folks who represent the, quote, Palestinians, unquote, say they're predominantly Arabs. Mm-hmm. A lot of them still identify as having their origins in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fiction. And the other idea is to have a Palestinian state, the, quote, two-state solution. Both parties have to want a two-state solution. Israel would be fine with a two-state solution.
Mm-hmm.
The Arab element is not.
Yeah.
They want a one-state solution. As I've said before, the maps of the Middle East from the Islamic countries and the Arab countries does not show Israel as existing. It has Jordan mm-hmm. going all the way to the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what they mean by from the river to the sea. They mean from the Jordan River to the sea. So their idea of a Palestinian state is there is no Israel. But there really is no Palestine either. These are basically Arabs and Arab people. But I have a suggestion. Let's go to England, for example. England, we're going to recognize a Palestinian state. I have an idea, because one of the reasons that England is going that way is because, particularly in London, if you're a politician in London and you want to stay in Parliament, you better, you know, in some way make concessions to the Arab and Muslim element, because that's how the majority of the population in some parts of London. Mm-hmm. Let's just make England the Palestinian state. They want one so bad. Mm-hmm. Now, it may be that France is going to beat them to it, or Germany. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they can have their own state. It's on an island out there. Now, they have to stay away from Scotland and the Welsh, because the Scots won't have any part of it. Mm-hmm. And they'll just, you know, kind of refortify Hadrian's Wall and take care of that. And you better leave the Welsh alone, because they do fine just by themselves, and they don't need, you know. So you got just the main body of England, leaving Scotland and Ireland and the Welsh alone, mm-hmm. and just make that their Palestinian state. See how they like that?
Yeah.
That's right. You know, France wants to be one. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And I've yapped my way into Pound from Pen from the Heart. We'll have some more music, pick things up a bit, and come back and talk about something else.
All right.
There we go. The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Crofton, "Even if I get 5 minutes of a sermon, I get so much out of it. I love Missionary Radio." From a Clarksville listener, "Thank you for your dedication to the kingdom." From Pembroke, "We just love the station and listen all the time." And from Madisonville, "God blesses me every day through Missionary Radio."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Okay, guys, we need to throw some good news in here, so here we go.
I like good news.
New Hampshire. I didn't say it was local.
Well, I'm sorry.
New Hampshire is another win preventing the childhood mutilation. The governor of New Hampshire, Kelly Ayotte, signed a bill into law there that makes her state the first in New England to ban, quote, gender-affirming care, unquote, for minors, which prohibits health care providers from prescribing puberty blockers and hormone therapy for people under 18, and it allows someone who is harmed by this so-called care to sue the individual that provided it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Mm. Yeah. There's a second bill signed banning gender-affirming surgeries for minors. So that means if you're a minor and you are confused about something, you're going to have to wait it out. Mm-hmm. You can't have somebody say, "Oh, yes, you're really this." And so, you know, that's kind of good. It's another positive thing.
Yeah.
And here's a strange one, too. Finally, Luis Enrique Fernandez, father of six, was suspended from a local pool in Fairfax County, Virginia, because the pool board claimed he was acting in a, quote, threatening and abusive, unquote, manner toward members of the opposing team. Well, Mr. Fernandez suspects it actually because he told the truth about a male swimmer. In July 13, he was serving as a swim marshal for a swim meet, and he noticed a boy swimming in the girls' races. He notified officials, but since no one knew what to do, no action was taken to prevent it. Duh.
Hmm.
All right. He asked three questions of three women who were cheering for the boy at the race. "Why are you cheering for a boy in a girls' race? Why did you register a boy for a girls' race? Why can't he swim with the boys?" And he says that's probably why he got suspended from the pool. So sometimes you ask the obvious. Well, I mean, he's swimming with the girls because he's not good enough to swim with the boys.
Yeah.
That would be like me. You put you in to swim with the boys, you can time them with a stopwatch, you time me with an hourglass.
With an hourglass.
Yeah. But
yeah.
So that was an interesting thing. You're telling the truth. You're pointing out the obvious.
Yeah.
The emperor has no clothes, if anybody remembers that story anymore. But Anyway, shifting around a little bit. What's this one? Oh, yeah, there we go. We'll go with this one. We are coming up on the 80th anniversary of the dropping of the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Okay.
And every time this comes up, they come up and they say, oh, that was a terrible thing to do, terrible thing to do. But they're pointing out the... in fact, it was not. They give some details about that. The basically, the situation in Japan was that the warrior caste, the admirals and such, mm-hmm. and generals,
mm-hmm.
They would say that the situation had developed not necessarily to Japan's advantage. Can't say they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
The emperor made that statement in his speech. Was going to say the war situation deteriorated day by day. They said, well, that's too strong. And so even after we dropped the bomb on those two cities. But what they had, if they had decided to surrender, there was no evidence of it. They said, people said, well, they were going to surrender anyway. There was no indication in any documents anywhere, mm-hmm. any record, mm-hmm. of any plan to surrender. Which meant we'd fight till the last person.
Mm-hmm.
They had a commitment to defeating or inflicting a severe blow against the coming invasion. And it goes on, but drop those two bombs, and they say, you know, we don't want that to happen. And folks say, well, it was actually, you know, they heard that Russia was going to come in on the side of the Allies. Well, Russia did that, I think, after we dropped the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took some of the northern islands of Japan. But there's no documents have been recovered indicating there was anything going toward a negotiated settlement. They believed that the air power would not be sufficient to win, and normally it wouldn't have been, but you dropped those two bombs, and that pretty much took that out.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of discussion, because it was a terrible, great big explosion, a lot of damage and such,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
But I have met soldiers from World War II who were part of the force training for the invasion of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were planning on stupendous casualties.
Yeah.
Horrendous casualties. In one of the documents, there was a battalion. Mm-hmm. And after day three, there was no mention of that battalion in any of the plans because it was expected to be wiped out.
Yeah.
And very few survivors, it might be put somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys training realized that the odds were that they were not going to survive.
Yeah.
Because it would have been, you know, house to house throughout the whole island.
Mm-hmm.
And dropped those two bombs, and it brought an end to the war. And if you read sometimes in some of the accounts of our soldiers in World War II that were talking about being trained for that and being prepared for the mm-hmm. invasion of Japan, it was hard enough.
Yeah.
It's just an island hopping campaign.
Sure, sure.
Because the Japanese were determined fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
to get on their home island.
Oh, yeah.
You know. You go back to, anyway, go back to our Civil War. Most of the guys fighting in the South were fighting for the mm-hmm. for territory.
Sure, sure.
Because only about 10% or so-ish of the Southern population owned slaves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you came into our territory.
Yeah.
And so, we're fighting for that.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, so if you hear these things, we should never have done that. It was inhumane. It killed a lot of civilians. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
War's bad about that.
It is.
You know, but so far we haven't won a war since 1945, so I have a theory about that that has a lot to do with changing the War Department into Department of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, pretty much every conflict we've gotten into has been to not lose.
Yeah.
To get it back the way it was before.
Sure.
Before the war.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to deal with things like that. But so before you get, you know, or your kids come home saying it was a terrible thing, you need to sit down with them and explain, you know, some of the facts of life.
Yeah.
And war is a terrible thing.
It is.
It's something you don't do until it becomes absolutely necessary. But when you do it hard and fast and get it over with.
True. Very true.
And anyway, that's been coming on 80 years since that bomb was dropped.
Been a long time.
And it was in August, and so we'll hear a lot of moaning like we usually do about it, and just realize,
yeah.
It wasn't you and it wasn't your dad that was going to
mm-hmm.
die.
Mm-mm.
We knew it going in.
Yeah.
So there is that. But I got a question for you.
Well, I'll see if I can answer.
Shifting gears. You may know this because we talked about this before. We're going to switch to the book of Genesis for a second.
Okay.
What was the first recorded thing God created in Genesis? Do you remember? We've done this before.
He created the heavens and the earth.
That's not the first thing.
That's not the first thing.
The first thing was time.
Time, yep.
In the beginning. Before that, there was no beginning.
Yes.
There was only eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a creationist teacher. You know, before God created, there was nothing. Wrong answer. There was always God.
Yeah.
What do you mean? God says, I am, not I was, I will be. I am.
Yep.
And that's a concept our brains do not absorb, the idea of eternity.
Yeah.
Which doesn't begin, it doesn't end. Mm-hmm. The beginning is the linear time that we live in. He created for us. Now, why did he do that? The best answer you can come up with, for his own good pleasure.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Why did he, I don't know. It's like, you know, the song, I don't know why Jesus loved me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either.
I don't have a clue.
You know?
But he does.
But he chose to.
He chose.
He chose. There's eternity, and then there's infinity.
Mm-hmm.
When he created the heavens and the earth, and heaven, and the stars also, that's almost a throwaway line.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the more powerful the telescope we build, the more depth we look,
mm-hmm.
the more galaxies, not just stars going out as far as we can see, but
that's
galaxies.
Right. Which right.
And it goes on and it goes on. It doesn't end. And that's another concept we can't really grasp. Mm-hmm. Where does it go? It just goes. It just keeps going. It doesn't ever stop. Eternity doesn't have a beginning or an end. Our linear time will, because we're told, you know, God's going to bring everything to an end, and then everybody will end mm-hmm. up either in heaven or hell,
mm-hmm.
which is just, you know, it should be a big folks think a little bit
mm-hmm.
because that will occur.
That's right.
But so just remember, you know, God created this because he chose to, and he saves people because he chooses to.
That's right.
He chose to provide a way.
Amen.
And sometimes when I'm not going to run into Johnny's time, I've got a couple of Psalm quotations that we'll get into a little bit about that.
Okay.
But not today, because we're going to come back, and I've got James Montgomery Boyce has some fun for us.
All right, let's get into Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. Johnny, you are such a strong person.
Oh, no, Shauna. I'm not a strong person, I tell you. Let me be honest with you. Before the crack of dawn, before my helper arrives to get me up in my wheelchair, I look to heaven and I say, God, got no courage for this day. I'm so tired of quadriplegia. I don't have any strength, no energy, but Jesus, you got courage. So make me brave for the day. I cannot do this, but I can do all things through you who strengthens me. Shauna, that's the way it is.
Mm.
And friend listening, at daybreak, I could be filled with fear. You know, like, will my catheter clog? Will my hip hurt worse than yesterday? What about the future? But I stay a step ahead of my fear. Every day I turn fear on its head, and in so doing, I become a person of Psalm 34, verse 4, quote, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Friend, if you struggle with fear, that is a great verse to memorize. So just how does God do this? Well, let me tell you a secret which has sustained me these many years in my wheelchair. And the secret is contained in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, quote, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see, God promises that every temptation, that is, every fear-filled trial or test, every time you're tempted to give in to defeat, that temptation comes with a way out, a way of escape, so that you can endure it. Exactly what is that way out or way of escape? Well, friend, it's the promises of God. I access God's power against fear as I make each promise of God my own. I recall a time when I was in a vacation house with my helper, and during the night, she stayed down the hall with a baby monitor between our rooms. That way, if I woke up in pain, I could call her to help me reposition in bed. Well, at 1 a.m., there I was, jolted awake by excruciating pain. I called softly through the monitor for my friend, and when she didn't respond, I called again, and then louder, still no answer. And fear started turning into panic. But then I remember Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. And so I pray, Jesus, you tell me to be courageous for you. You promised to be with me, and I need you to make good on your promise right now. And so I started screaming the words of every Bible promise that I could think of, hoping that my helper would hear me. Lord, you are my ever-present help in this trouble. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Your name is a strong tower. I'm screaming these things, and as I cried out the words of every promise, I could feel my fear beginning to vanish. And that is when I heard a click on the monitor. My helper came running. She couldn't hear me because the volume was set too low. And as she quickly repositioned me, I felt so peaceful. God had given me what he promised in Joshua 1 verse 9. He gave me his courage. And oh, friend, there is so much more to say, and I would love for you to hear it. So please visit johnnyradio.org, where I have posted my video on the subject of fear.
And Johnny, if I might add, people can ask for your free pamphlet, Breaking the Bonds of Fear, while they're at johnnyradio.org, and start breaking those bonds of fear in your life.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Did you know that every second people take 591 photographs? That's 51.1 million every day. Why do we do that? We take 3 billion photographs just during the November-December holiday season alone. That's a lot of photos. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, so that would be a big book, wouldn't it? 3 billion photos during the holiday season is a lot of words. Why do we do that? We spend all the money on those photographs to augment our memory so that we can remember. We human beings need all the crutches we can get to augment our memory. The Bible makes an interesting statement in Proverbs 10:7. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio and there is a song or message that applies to my situation. 100%
listener-funded missionary radio.
The world needs King Jesus. Missionary radio.
Okay, well, here we go. We've got our James Montgomery Boyce collection here that was put together of devotions, and we're going to, this is called Hopelessness or Hopefulness.
Okay.
And it starts out with Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31.
There was a certain rich man who clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf mixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will there be, or will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead.
Okay, there's a lot of stuff in that one. A
lot of stuff.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie Fuller and I used to have a discussion about this one a good bit. He finally persuaded, was it a parable or was it an account of something that actually happened?
Mm-hmm.
So we discussed that thing. He finally persuaded me that it was a parable.
Yeah.
But we had a little fun with that one for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Boyce takes this apart a little bit. He says, consider this contrast between the hopelessness of the rich man's condition after death and the hopefulness of his condition before. After death, there is no possibility of change. You know, we humans don't like that, but that's true. No possibility after death. In this life, there is, and therefore, we can rightly say where there is life, there is hope.
That's right.
Spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
This is the note that I make, Boyce says. The opportunity that all who hear this parable of the rich man and Lazarus still have, no matter who you are or what you may or may not have done, you are not yet in the position of the rich man who prayed, but who, because he prayed in hell, prayed too late. For you, it is not too late. You can pray. You can find God now. You can turn from sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You can come to Christ in many ways, but it is only through Christ that you can come to heaven. You can come one more time with that. You can come to Christ in many ways, but it is only through Christ that you can come to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great writers of the Elizabethan age was Christopher Marlowe. He wrote what is probably the classic treatment of the Faustus legend in English. Faustus was a character who, according to the story, sold his soul to the devil for secret knowledge and intense pleasure on earth. The devil gave him those things. But in the story, there comes the moment when Faustus' earthly time runs out, and the devil comes to take him away to condemnation. In Marlowe's Dr. Faustus, Faustus in despair begs time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
O lente, lente, curite, noctis equi. Now, I had Latin in high school because my folks said I had to. Noctis, I know that has to do with night, and equi is, means horses. And the rest of it, fortunately, they translate for us.
Mm-hmm.
It means run slowly, slowly, horses of the night.
Okay.
Which is kind of scary in and of itself.
Yeah.
The sin that continues saying, the stars move still, time runs, the clock will strike, the devil will come, and Faustus must be condemned.
Mm-hmm.
That is from Marlowe's story, which is also made into plays and operas and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And even a Broadway musical, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, had a basis on that. It was called the story was the year the Yankees won the pennant, lost the pennant. I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
But it's cute. It's a cute story. Anyway, those words, however, can chill the heart when they paralyze the will. But praise to the God of all grace, those words are wrong. Why? Because it is not possible to sell your soul to the devil. The devil owns no one, and while we yet live, it is not necessary that anyone be damned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are dead in our trespasses and sins.
Sure.
And we do give allegiance to the devil, but he doesn't mm-hmm. own us. We're, mm-hmm. So we're just slaves to him. No, it's just that's how we are. We choose that because we're lost,
yeah.
because we're sinners.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is preached. The door is open, and Jesus himself says, whoever will may come. We get a lot of discussions about how that will develops, but that's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to be in heaven saying, I didn't want to be here. Everybody up there is going to be grateful that God saved them.
Amen.
Even if, whether it was early in life or at the very last
mm-hmm.
minute.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that last minute.
Yes.
Boyce concludes, he said, do not wait for signs. Do not wait for miracles. Abraham said that the brothers of the rich man would not believe even if someone should rise from the dead. You have the scriptures, the Bible, and the story says they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Listen to that word. Jesus said, those that bear witness about me. If you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, I commend that word to you. I urge it on you for your soul's sake. There is an eternity ahead. There is a heaven to seek and a hell to flee.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hear a whole lot about hell.
Mm-mm.
I had a pastor, one our revivalist, one says, I'm going to be preaching about hell. Well, no, he preached about people, the kind of people would be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a sermon about hell.
Yeah.
I have only heard, to my recollection, one sermon specifically describing hell and what it was like, and that was on another radio station. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't. Back when Bible Broadcasting Network helped us out when we got started.
Mm-hmm.
And they would send us tapes of their conference pulpit, which we played mm-hmm. on Sunday nights,
mm-hmm.
an hour-long program.
Yeah.
And they had an old-style preacher, and he just preached about what hell was like.
Mm.
You don't want to go there.
No.
You don't want to go there. And there's only one way not to. You hear folks say, well, if I don't make it to heaven on my good works, then the whole thing's just a bunch of baloney. No, you can't make it on your good works because your good works not good enough.
No, no.
God demands perfection, and we can't get perfection.
That's right.
There was a heresy back in the early years, early centuries. Men said, well, God commands us to be holy, and God can't command us to do something that we can't actually do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're telling God what he can and can't do now?
Yeah.
We do that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, it is possible to get into heaven without Jesus Christ. No. God made that perfectly clear.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be good enough.
That's right.
So most of these works-related things, you depend on your own works. It's the blood of Jesus Christ plus something I do.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing you do is going to be good enough.
That's right.
Well, that's both the good news and the bad news at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is you can't be good enough. Nope. The good news is you don't have to be good enough. Jesus already was.
That's right.
His death on that terrible cross, a terrible, painful cross, mm-hmm. was to carry the weight of your sin, for his separation from God during that period of time.
Yes.
Was unlike anything we can imagine. If you just think about the pain, you're looking at probably perfect nerve endings. You know, we're happy and fortunate that we don't have perfect nerve endings. We have little gaps in there so that we don't feel every single painful thing that happens.
Right.
You know, but he did.
Yes.
And the humiliation of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say when he's on a cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
That's right.
And some folks have said, but maybe he was just talking about the guards that were gambling for his garments,
mm-hmm.
because that was fulfilling. Maybe they were certainly included with it.
Oh yeah.
But he's all had all those folks out there that cried, crucify him, crucify him, and
mm-hmm.
and then you see the crucifixion of what it is, and you say, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
You see how horrible it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the price that was paid, and it was paid strictly so that people did not have to go to hell.
That's right.
There are a lot of folks. That's why we have Missionary Radio, to get the word out.
Yeah.
And why we are tied in and we help support Trans World Radio, because that's getting the word out across the world.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't, there is a hell and you don't have to go there.
That's right.
But there's only one way not to. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It isn't us plus goodness plus. We don't have to get good enough. We can't get good enough. But our conduct, as a friend that Saul Solomon said, the Bible tells us what about God. God reveals to us what he's chosen to reveal about himself and the conduct he expects of his people. And there's a postscript on that real quick. He also sends us the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, first he saves us, then he works on the cleanup. So if you got some areas need cleanup, cry out to Jesus. He'll help you out. It's time for the news and a prayer request. God bless.